I have been here.
The Grey Goose, Adventures of a Modern Robin Hood.
With a chip on my shoulder, I arraigned myself against society, as you know. And thus, though accepted in most places as Roland Fletcher, gentleman at leisure, I still found pleasure and adventure in my role of the Grey Goose. Hence, I am almost public enemy number one. Thinking thus, I was suddenly roused by a peremptory summons from Barbara Faversham's flat. Is that you calling?
Yes, do come in.
All right. Shove the old bookcase around.
Good. I've got something to show you. Close the gadget.
Ooh. Remind me to get our false bookshelf wall oiled up in the very near future. Getting to sound like a lady driver changing gears. But why the summons?
Have you read the papers?
No, and I mean no.
Pity. There's some news.
Don't tell me. An atom bomb experiment near Moscow killed all the Russians.
Nothing quite so devastating. Listen. Edmund Pirbright, famous manufacturing tycoon, today added to his immense fortune by winning a football pool. £45,000.
Good old Edmund. Lucky old Edmund.
Rubbish. He's maybe lucky, but he's not good old. He's a cantankerous old skinflint worth millions. And he has to win £45,000.
Lucky old Edmund.
Listen. He's on the list.
Oh, ho.
Yes. One of the famous 40 thieves.
Ah, that's different. So it appears we must relieve him of some of his ill-gotten gains.
Definitely. Now listen to this story, too. Abel Armstrong, his chief mechanical designer, was a staunch friend of father's when the crash came. Pirbright chucked Abel out. He'd always kept the old chap under his thumb.
Well, what excuse did he have for sacking Armstrong?
None, except the old chap knew too much. But his excuse was that Abel was past work.
Which he wasn't, I presume.
Of course not. Now, are you going to let an injustice like that go by without some effort?
Well, we can't pinch his pool ticket. Too many complications. Mean old stick, this Edmund Pirbright.
Mean, intolerant, and a miser.
Then, of course, we'll have a go at him. There may be pickings.
There will be. He has a factory site filled with machinery and contracts for precision articles worth millions. Well?
I can't exactly stop the works by putting sand in the jolly old mechanism, can I?
Well, you can do something, can't you?
Yes, I think I can. Where does he live?
He has a luxury flat over the works.
From which he can watch the wheels go round, eh? Not so good. However, we must go over the situation and scheme how best to perform a little operation on the Pirbright checkbook. Twerps forward. We'll visit that factory, I think.
Good. I knew you'd do something. I'll come with you.
Oh, that'll be a great help. Maybe. This is a great place, this is. Can't force a factory door. Slaves all over the place. Night watchman and all complete.
Ring the night bell.
And then what?
The night watchman will open the door.
And we fell him with a spanner, and then dive in and drag out a 2,000-pound lathe, a 10,000-pound generator, shove them in the boot of the car, and hop it.
Oh, that'd be silly.
Silly? It will be suicide. No, I think I've got a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
I do knock up the night watchman. He comes to the door, and I ask to be directed to Mr. Edmund Pirbright's flat.
Where do I come in?
You don't, yet. Just bob out of sight when I ring this bell and wait for instructions, right?
Right.
Here goes, then.
Yes?
Anyone around? I have a special message for Mr. Pirbright.
The boss never sees anyone after the factory's closed.
Oh, confound it. I've come an awful long way to see him.
Morning's the time. In any case, you don't come in this way. His flat's round the back, up the fire escape. But you can't climb that.
No?
No. Not unless I unlock the gate from a gadget here in the factory watchroom.
Washroom?
Watchroom, I said.
Oh, sorry. So I can't see him?
Orders. Now, sir, or whatever you are, go away and come again in the morning.
Oh, thanks. I'll do that.
Yes, just do that. And no larking, see?
Larking?
Yes, you heard. No larking. This place is security, see? wired to high heaven with electricity and alarm bells to police. 5 every hour. Goes off like. Now, Obby, I'm off on me rounds, and don't you forget what I said.
No locking. Well, so that's that.
Well?
You heard?
Yes, I heard.
Barbara, have you ever heard of Colonel Blood?
No.
He once managed to break into the Tower of London and stole the crown jewels.
Did he?
And if by any chance we could have resuscitated him, we'd have been able to ask him how.
So, we give up?
Oh, no, no, no. We just go round to that electrified gate, leading up the fire escape. Then, being shockproof, we climb over it and knock on the door and ask old man Pirbright for £45,000. Oh, easy.
So, we do give up.
Don't keep putting ideas into my head. No, we explore. Come on, if you've any Colonel Blood in your veins. Well, we'll just pay a call at my car first. There's a pair of rubber gloves in the toolbox and a pair of rubber galoshes.
What are the galoshes for?
To keep the wet out, silly. Come on.
Here's the gate.
Yes, so I notice. 6 feet high, electrified to the last ohm or amp, whichever it is. Well, I'm about to give you an exhibition of a man in the electric chair, or I get over safely.
How?
With these gloves on, I'm going to try and vault it, so stand aside. If I miss and touch it with my body, I shall just fizz like a blue flame. You then drive home and say to yourself, well, he was a gay spark, R.I.P.
Oh, let's give it up. It's too dangerous.
Nonsense. A piece of cake. Currant cake. Oh, not very funny, really. Well, here goes.
You made it.
So I did. Electrocution postponed. Now stay there and keep KB while I go aloft and find our Mr. Pirbright. Cheers. See you later. The old man's in, apparently. Light enough a window. I wonder if I can get a look-see. Oh, no good. Blinds down. Have to be polite, I suppose. Knock on the door and all that.
Well, that's the plan. And tomorrow we shall have to see that the shareholders are given the usual bunk.
Company? That's bad. I hoped he was alone. Mm-hmm. However, here goes.
Here, what the devil? Here, get a move on, quick.
Right, I'll be in the back room.
Now, I wonder who that can be.
Here, well, what's the meaning of this? Who let you in? How did you get here?
My dear sir, I had no idea you were engaged, or I would not have presumed to invade your privacy.
But how the devil did you get here, past all that galvanic protection?
Quite easily, my dear sir. And if you'll allow me to enter, I'll willingly demonstrate to you the fallibility of your so-called galvanic protection.
Oh, you will you? Very well, then. Oh, 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 my wrist.
Yes, your wrist. One little mite of pressure, and it breaks. Please don't reach for that button. I sense it'll set the whole alarm system in action. Can I come in?
As you're forcing me, I've no option.
Thank you. Shall we shut the door? Thank you again.
Well, however you manage to circumvent my safety device, I don't know. But I shall shortly find out. And there's somebody going to be sacked as soon as I do.
That's a little hobby of yours, isn't it? Sacking trusted servants.
What do you mean?
Let it pass for the moment. Now, will you kindly resume your seat and give me the opportunity of stating my business?
I'd like to know what sort of business brings a man to my flat after dark and masked like a highwayman. If you had legitimate business, then I have an office and hours for callers.
I prefer it this way.
Do you realize that this plant and building are employed in secret work for the government?
I do.
And that being so, you are liable to extreme punishment?
I do. Oh, sounds like the wedding ceremony, doesn't it?
All right, I'll give you 2 minutes to explain yourself. And if I am satisfied, I'll let you out the safe way.
And if you're not?
I'll have you arrested at once.
Oh, so you keep a policeman on the premises?
I do not.
Perhaps it was the policeman I heard you talking to when I knocked on your door.
I was talking to no one.
I heard your voice and another.
Nonsense. I was working some calculations out loud, a habit of mine.
I don't believe you.
What?
I simply do not believe you.
Hey, confound you, man. Do I have to justify myself to a vagabond who invades my premises? Now state your business, if any, and keep to the point. And remove that mask.
Why?
Because I demand it.
That's nothing in my young life. Now listen, Pirbright. You've asked my business. I'll tell you that in good time. But for my own safety, I have to know who is in this flat with you.
No one. I'm alone.
Let me remind you that I said just now, I don't believe you. So produce him. Remember, I'm a fairly young and unusually strong sort of chap. You're a very much older man. I can use my strength mercilessly at times.
You threaten me.
I do. Oh, goodness, isn't this monotonous? Now, go and get your friend. In fact, I propose to come with you. So move quickly.
Brute force doesn't always pay. But come if you wish and search.
I do wish.
This way. Just down this passage and see for yourself.
Hey, wait! What the devil's happened to the lights? Pertwright, you devil, where are you?
It's all right, just a temporary failure. They're on again. Now, continue the search if you must.
No. No, I don't think I will. I don't trust you, little man. This place has too much electricity for my liking. We'll go back to that other room. And no monkey tricks.
You seem to be in command. We will return.
We will. Now you go ahead. And don't play with switches. You feel that?
Oh.
That's just my hand on your shoulder. It hurts like that, doesn't it?
Please, please.
All right.
Now, as you appear satisfied, I'm prepared to continue the discussion. Perhaps you will now explain yourself. Sit down on my visitor's chair.
Thanks.
Oh! Yeah, he laughs best who laughs last. That chair is highly charged.
Switch the power off.
By no means. You're a strong man, you said. Well, you should be able to take a few volts. All right. Go on taking them. They won't kill you. Police? Yes. Pertwright's. Emergency call. Yes. A suspect.
And so Roland Fletcher finds himself on the point of capture. But there always appears to be a way out somehow for the Grey Goose.